Good morning. We're so glad that everybody made it through the rain. It's raining once again, but we definitely need the rain. Went out last night to help with the ducks and ran through a cobweb and then tried to get the water off of the tarp. And I think the ducks were laughing at me because I think I got as wet as they were. And so, but the chickens all took off. They were good. But we definitely need the rain to help it grow. We're so glad that we could be here as a family. Welcome everybody online. We have two or three quick just recaps, if we could. We know how everything loves to keep changing with this virus stuff, and the governor making announcements almost every week or so. We just want to remind everybody so that we can keep everybody safe. And if you would, just wear your mask. If you're comfortable wearing it in during service, we have spots for that. If not, we have spots for that as well. But if you would, wear your mask in and out, just so that we can keep everyone safe. And if you're not feeling well, runny nose, fever, and all of those things, coughing, if you would just take the precautions that are needed, and especially if you have a fever, if you would stay home, because we want everybody to feel safe in coming and enjoying, you know, time together. And then if you also keep the conversation sort of outside, I know right now it's not exactly the time to go outside to have a conversation because it's raining, but we just want to keep the aisles and doorways and things clear so that those that putting on the mask because they need to get out the door can get out the door and thing. But just if we could all just work together on that, it would be very much appreciated. Some crazy quick things. It's hard to believe that we are in August, but if you look, August 16th, we're going to have the Gessler family coming. They are friends of ours. You can go. We put their web page on the bottom, or you can look them up on YouTube. It's a family of eight coming to our house. So it's going to be 16 people in the big house. Crazy, but somehow we'll make it there. But they are coming to do a podcast and to visit a place in Indiana, but also to come and worship with us. And they'll be doing a small concert the 16th in the evening, hopefully outside, and the weather will be nice. So just pray for that family. They're on the move now, traveling to different places, and you can follow their journey on YouTube. And also, if you would, the food pantry needs some items. Here's some new items that we have that they're looking for. We have a box out front that you can put those in. And then the fifth Sunday will be coming up here soon on the 30th, and it's going to go to our youth minister, Fun, and he is doing an amazing job, so please support him. Let's pray, and then the band will get us moving. Lord, we just give you praise and glory for this day. Thank you for the rain. Thank you with the rain comes rainbows, Lord, and that we can just praise you in that, Lord, and just thank you that the rain is coming so the crops can grow, so that we can take care of others, Lord, and that we can share the bounty of the harvest. And we just praise you and we give you glory. Thank you that we can come in here and sit at your feet and just to hear your word and to worship you with like-minded people. We ask you to be with those that aren't here, Lord, those that are traveling, and just bring all safely to their destinations. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. We're going to open with Give Us Clean Hands.
We turn on.
Listen to the words of that song, we'd be so much better off, wouldn't we? Don't look very much prepared for battle, but the battle cry is coming here.
Yeah.
I myself refuse to live in fear of my government, of my government's virus, or if anything else is coming down the pike. Because it's clear the good Lord's working. It's clear that Revelation is being worked out in front of us. And it's clear that our days are short here on this earth. We're going to get to see Jesus real soon. And it's clear that nothing, nothing on this earth can separate us from Jesus Christ. What is there to fear? We better stand up on this one. Never before, oh my soul, I
worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.
Lord, we come into your house so thankful to be here this morning. So thankful for all you've done for us throughout this past week, Lord, how you've been there with us. And give us new mercies for every day. We thank you, Lord. And we praise your name, and we came here, Lord, to praise your name. No matter what, Lord, until we have no breath left in our lungs, we will praise your name. Lord, you are good to us, even though we're sinners, Lord. You came and redeemed us with your own Son's blood. We praise you for this, Lord, and we ask that we could go out into a world that's lost, Lord, and bring others to know your saving grace, Lord. This world needs Jesus. Help us to be your voice, Lord, your hands and your feet. Help us to tell others about Jesus. Again, Lord, we ask the blessing on the service this morning. That you speak through Jeremy, that you fill him with your spirit, Lord, that he can teach us out of your holy word your ways, and that each and every one receives just what he needs from the scripture this morning. We thank you and we praise you and we love you in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. As Jeremy said, it's pretty nice to enjoy the cooler weather and the rain. I've been watering my garden every day for seem like months now, and it just barely keeps it alive. But this morning I looked out and the plants are just standing so high and so healthy looking. And the cooler weather is really appreciated. Fall is my favorite time of year. To help us prepare for partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning, I wanted us to think just a little bit about distractions that we have, the church has to be concerned about. And it seems like every few years we have new distractions and more distractions that might prevent us from focusing on our Lord during the Lord's Supper. You know, we have the church and schools and have to be concerned about security and providing security for our members so that, you know, the past several years we've had people attacking and killing innocent people in our churches and schools, and so we've had to respond to that, and that's an ongoing issue that we have to be concerned about. And now we have this year the pandemic, which is affecting all of us, and it's a distraction to our work for the Lord. But yet, thinking about those things and how many distractions we have, you know, we don't have near the distractions that the Lord had when he instituted the Passover. I'd read this many times in Matthew 26, verses 17 through 28, but I never, you know, every time you read something, you get something new out of it. But imagine what Jesus was dealing with here this evening. He knew that the next day he was going to be suffering upon the cross and giving his life for his followers and Christians, and that he knew that one of his disciples had betrayed him, and yet he was doing the Lord's Supper with Judas there in his presence, and that was certainly had to be a terrible distraction that he had betrayed his Lord. And those things are much more serious than the issues that we deal with, even though ours are serious. But Jesus had much more on his mind, but yet he was able to focus on the importance of what he was doing this evening in the breaking of bread and giving and partaking of the cup. And let's just think of those things as we read here. Matthew 26, starting in verse 17. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. And when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. And now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' And he answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. And the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And he knew it was him. He said to him, You have said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it all of you, for this is my cup, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Let us pray now and give thanks for the opportunity to partake of the supper. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this bread that represents thy body and the fruit of the vine which represents the blood that was shed upon the cross, that we might have forgiveness of our sins and that we may live with thee eternally. Help us to put all the worldly distractions out of our mind and focus on thee as we partake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's our prayer and praise time. We have several praises here. Jeremy Allman has a praise. He says he is the champ of his track challenge. Way to go, Jeremy. Okay. Tim told me that his oldest daughter, India, is in labor and with her fourth child and is soon to give birth. Your fourth. Okay. Her second child. Okay. So let's pray that she delivers a fine, healthy baby here. Bob and Ruth for Bob's sister, Carol. She is recovering from surgery, seeing doctor on Wednesday to see next step in her recovery. Pray she can regain some weight. And from Kay Hickman for Ivan Schatbau, a friend from Florida, please keep Susanna, his wife, and family in prayer for comfort because of his passing. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sporting events that our people can participate in. We pray that they bring you praise and glory by doing these things. And we thank you for a new life coming into this world. We pray that they'll be a strong servant of the Lord Jesus. And Bob's sister Carol, we pray that she will have good health during the rest of her life. We hope and pray the rest of her life is long. We pray that she seeks after you. We hope and pray that she gets a good report on Wednesday. And for this one that has lost their loved ones, we pray that you be with them as they go on. We pray that you, the Comforter, will comfort this family. We also pray that you'd be with our nation going through this, things we're going through, those who are in authority. We pray that they exercise correct authority, not just a rule over us with a to bring about hardships or things, but to bring out the best. You said that in this world, we are going to have trouble, and we have trouble, and we're in need of you. And we have plenty of others, minor sicknesses and things that are going on in families. We thank you for the ability of the body to be able to heal itself at times. We know at times we come to you in prayer because of serious issues. And we also want to thank you for the blessed rain that has come and a little bit of cooler weather, natural relief that comes from your hand. Be with Jeremy as he comes now to preach the word, for he is prepared. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Two that we didn't mention, if you would pray for Connie there, Alamong back there, as all you mothers know, and we have Kim up here who's a mom as well. Worrying about your kids can be a thing. I don't know how many you know, Jared is stuck between here and there, and he's got a bunch of kids, so Mama Connie's worried, you know, not only the grandkids, but her son is stuck somewhere too. So just pray that they get everything situated and get wherever they need to go safely and off the road, and God has been good to them so far, so that's an amazing adventure, and Connie will be glad to share you with it, just the things that God has done on that. And also pray for Jonathan. If you notice, he's not here. He called me this morning. Sydney has, you know that feeling you get in your foot when it falls asleep? She has that feeling in her stomach side area, so they took her to Fort Wayne this morning to figure out what is going on with her. So just pray for her, and pray for Jonathan as well. So as you know, we're going to jump on in here to the book of Daniel, and we are in the part of Daniel that is the prophecies. And this is the connection, these final prophecies are the connections with Revelations. And it's kind of funny, as I was walking around talking to some people, Darla was like, I have a question, and maybe we'll talk about this later. And, you know, and she asked the question that we're going to talk about today. So God is working, because there's so many things on Facebook. There's so many preachers that are preaching the book of Revelations. There's so much out there that we are ready. Any moment the lights could go out, this roof could come off, and Jesus just starts plucking his people. Any moment. That would be totally awesome. But we hear it all the time, and it's not a message that is new. And that, I think, is the sad part, because we've heard this message so many times. When big events happen, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And we've heard it over and over again that we've kind of got dull to it. Okay, Jesus will be here one day. And we kind of stop preparing. So we're going to look into that. We're going to walk into these. And we're going to see that the whole craziness actually is very simple. And I'm not going to get into the 77 sevens, and we are going to look at that today. But I'm not going to get into that. It gets too long and way too crazy. Would love to sit down with you and talk about that if that's something you want to get deeper into. But we're staying away from
the 77 sevens today. But we're just going to look at these two prophecies. And as we look at these, and as we move forward, we're going to look at a word that you're probably already have heard. But we're going to look today is the abomination of desolation. And Jesus makes reference to this in the book of Mark and in the book of Matthew. In the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 14, he says, "But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee the mountain. Let no one who is on the housetop not go down or enter his house or take anything out. And let the one who is in the field turn back to take his cloak." And he goes on to further say about what not to do. In the book of Matthew, when he starts this abomination of desolation, he says, "As you've heard Daniel say." So Daniel is going to speak of the abomination of desolation. And it can be very frightening. It can be very confusing. What does this mean? Who is this? And in September, we're going to actually start walking through the book of Mark, so we'll look at that in a little more detail. But as for now, as for the book of Daniel, this abomination of desolation has two folds. And today we're going to briefly look at them. The first one is the Antichrist. The abomination of desolation is the Antichrist. The second one is a historical event, and that's in chapter 8. And we're going to look at it because there is a specific individual who is not the Antichrist, who is called the abomination of desolation. And we're going to look at his story here in a few minutes. So if you would, open the book, your book, Bibles, to the book of Daniel. And actually, we're going to start with 9. We're going to go forward, then we're going to go backwards to go forward. So open up to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. And as you're doing that, the famous preacher and founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, once said, "When I was young, I was sure of everything. But after a few years, having been mistaken 1,000 times, I was not so sure of most things as I was before. And at present, I am hardly sure of anything except what God has revealed to me." Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory for who you are. Lord, help us to be sure only of what you reveal to us. Give us that confidence that we can go to your word and that we can look in it and that we can, as you tell Daniel, that we can have understanding, that we can have peace, that we can have confidence because you've said it and we know where to look. Lord, as we walk through this book today, as we walk through these prophecies today, Lord, open our hearts and minds, Lord, that we may see you, that we may see all of the craziness that we hear, all the craziness that we read is simple, that it comes down to you and your Son. Lord, we praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, we have walked through Daniel. We looked at chapters 1 through 6, and we saw that the language changed. We saw the rise and the fall of two separate kingdoms. We looked at chapter 7, and we saw the first prophecy that was given to Daniel, the prophecy that mirrored chapter 2 of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And we saw how in that dream, not only did it mirror the dream, but the Daniel's prophecy, Daniel's vision, took us a step further, and we looked deeper at the rock that was cut out, not by man's hands. And we looked how the gospel is the ultimate kingdom to come. And it is the gospel, it is the kingdom of God that we need to look to, not man's kingdom. So we're going to continue today in that thought because these other prophecies that we're going to read are happening in the midst of these kingdoms. One's going to happen in chapter 8, is going to happen during King Belshazzar. And he was the last king of the Babylonians. He's the one who said, "I am the boss, I am great, I made me great, and no God is greater than Babylon." And then God wrote on the wall and said, "Your days have been numbered. You've been measured. You've been found wanting, and your kingdom ends tonight." And he dies, and the Medes and the Persians step in. And the second part, chapter 9, takes place during King Darius, during the Medes and the Persians. And if you remember, King Darius is the king who liked Daniel. He liked Daniel so much that when a law came across that he could not change, and Daniel had to be thrown into the lion's den, King Darius stayed up all night trying to figure a way how to save his friend. So this is where we are. This is what we're going to look at. Let us start with chapter 9. Chapter 9 says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Assyrius, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So we're going to look at this. And here's what we're going to look at. Daniel is about to pray. What is Daniel known for? Praying. Daniel is known for praying. In fact, so much so in chapter 6, verse 9, it says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber, open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks for his before his God as he had done previously. What does Daniel do when hard times come? He prays. What does he do when days are wonderful and everything is going as they should be? He prays. What do we do? Do we go to God in prayer? Do we get on our knees three times a day as he had done previously, which means it was a constant thing? Or do we pray, thank you for this meal? Do we pray, thank you that the day is over and I can finally go to sleep? Thank you for this sunrise. It's a beautiful sunrise, and that's about it. Because you see, we're moving, as we started this, we're in the midst of a storm. Is this storm just going to be like the storms of the past that have blown, have caused chaos, and have moved on and the sun shines again? Or is this the beginning of the ultimate storm when Jesus steps in and says it is finished? We don't know. But we're in a storm. And what do we need to do in this storm? We need to pray. The power of the church is not in people going out sharing the gospel. That is our mission. That is what we are called to do. But I can go all day long and I can tell people time and time and time and time again about Jesus. But if I'm not praying for those people, if I'm not praying for the church, if I'm not praying for the opportunities, then I'm just a sounding gong. We have to be on our knees praying, and Daniel is going to hit his knees in prayer as he's done before. And I want us to look here because we all know the greatest prayer. What's the greatest prayer? It's the what? The Lord's Prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer. And I don't have it all because there's a reason. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord's Prayer, right? Jesus taught us to pray, but do you know that prayer is found in the book of Daniel? See, there are four major points of prayer that we must look at. There's the introduction to prayer. If you look at verse 4 of Daniel's prayer, because he says he turns his face and prays. In verse 4, he says, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenants and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. There's a plea, there's a cry saying, God, you are great. We need to face our God. We need to tell our God how great he is. What does the Lord's Prayer start? Our Father in heaven. You're in heaven. You're above it all. You see it all. You control it all. The second part of this prayer is adoration for the Lord. Again, he says in verse 4, O Lord, the great and awesome God. The great and awesome God, over in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Do you see how Daniel's praying? Daniel is seeking his face. He is putting God above all else. We need to put God above all else. The next part of this prayer is a confession of personal sin and national sin. And I'm not going to read them all. I'm going to get into a couple of them here in a minute. But 15 through 14 of chapter 9, Daniel confesses his sin. He confesses the nation's sin. When we look at the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then finally, the last part of this prayer is a petition, verses 15 through 19. The petition in the Lord's Prayer is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Daniel says the exact same thing in a different way. How do we fight what's going on? How do we survive this storm? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. Why? Because the rock, that foundation, was a prayer like this. God, you are great. God, you are worthy to be praised. God, you are holy. God, I am not so good. God, I've messed up. God, I don't even know why you paid attention to me. God, help us. When we seek the face of God, when we go to God in prayer, what does God do? He becomes our shield. He becomes our fortress. He becomes that rock. He lifts us out of the miry clay. You see, we look through the book of Psalms and we sing the Psalms because they were songs. But what were the Psalms? They were prayers. They were petitions. They were praises to the great God that David served. We have to be a praying people in a time, especially in a moment like this. Because the winds are coming. They're getting worse and worse day by day. How do we survive? We survive in prayer. There's two things we have to look at when we look at this prayer of Daniel. You see, if you go, and I encourage you to go and count them. If you look, seven times Daniel uses God's name. Do you know what God's name is? It's Yahweh. God's name is Yahweh. It's not God. We, through the times, have changed it to God. And we say, don't use the Lord's name in vain. And when we say GD and those things, it's bad. You should never say that. But what God is saying when he says, don't use my name in vain, is don't say Yahweh in vain. And how do you know Yahweh? Go back in here and look when it says capital L-O-R-D, all caps. All caps means Yahweh. You can go back to Exodus chapter 6. And in Exodus chapter 6, Moses is before the burning bush. And he's pleading to God. And he's like, God, I don't know. Me, really? How are they going to believe me that you sent me? And what does he say? He says, my name is Yahweh. I've not told Abraham. I've not told Isaac. I've not told Jacob. My name is Yahweh. And you will go and tell them that Yahweh has sent you. Now think about that when you think about the Exodus story. When you think about the Exodus story, you have all of these gods, Beset, you have Anubis, you've got Ra, you've got all of these gods that have names. So when Moses steps up and says, Yahweh says, let my people go, and Pharaoh says, I don't know this Yahweh. Show me Yahweh. It changes the story altogether. So Daniel is pleading, he is using God's name, he's saying, Yahweh, Father, please, not just God, help me. He's saying Yahweh. When your children come to you, do they say, Father, I need something? Or, Father, I did a bad thing. What do they come? They say, Daddy, 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 Mommy, Mommy. They don't say Mother or Father. Even the English don't do that, right? They don't. They, Mommy, Daddy. Daniel is on his knees saying, Yahweh, Yahweh. Seven times he cries out personally to God, Yahweh, save us. And here's the thing that I think it hit me hard and I think we really need to take it home with is that Daniel associates himself with a nation. Israel has messed up. That's why we are in Babylon. Israel messed up. I'm stuck here because my parents and the kings and the generations before them ignored God. They rebelled against God. And so I'm stuck here with no family, 80-some years old, growing up in a culture that's not my own. My own friends have turned against me because I refuse to eat from the king's table. I'm here because of their sin. But notice what Daniel does. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, Daniel's praying to Yahweh. He says, "To us, O Yahweh, belongs open shame, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you." Do you see what he did? To us. He associates himself with Israel's sin in verse 8. To us. We did this. Our kings did this. We have sinned against you. In verse 9, he goes on to say, "To the Lord our God, for we have rebelled against him." We have rebelled. We have not obeyed the voice of Yahweh. We have not walked in his laws which were set before us. We have not entreated the favor of Yahweh. We have not turned from our iniquities to gain insight to your truth. We have done this. Are we willing to say we as Americans have done this? We as a nation have sinned against you, God? Because a lot of churches will stand and they will point out the sins of America. But how did America get where it got? Because Christians would sit and things would happen. And they'd go into their homes and they'd say, "Can you believe what they did? Can you believe what they're doing? I can't stand this." There's a board meeting downtown, 9 o'clock tomorrow. The church has sat by and they've let things go amok. So we have sinned against you, God. It's not just the American place. It's we. We are all guilty. We all need to turn to you, O Lord. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord. Help us. Forgive us. The word says that God hears the prayers of the righteous. So if we're pleading for our nation, including ourselves, that we are part of this mess that has been made, will God not hear? And here's the real kicker. Here's the real kicker. There's this courtroom that happens. And we're all sitting there in this courtroom. We're waiting. And Jeremy Jones, come forward. There's this list that I have against you, Jeremy Jones, of all these things that you've done. And you really don't want me to read some of these things because there are some people in this room that have thought otherwise and could really embarrass you. But you know what? I'm going to read them anyway. Come forward, Jeremy Jones. And do you know what happens as Jeremy Jones begins to rise? Someone else stands up and walks forward and says, "I'm here." And you know what? That price, if you look at the bottom, has been paid. Here's the marks that have been paid. You see, Christ associated himself with our sin. He didn't say, "I take the sin of the world upon myself. I take Jeremy Jones's sin and I claim I am Jeremy Jones. That sin is mine. And I pay for it with my blood." Christ himself has associated himself with our sin. And he took it to the cross. We need to be a praying people. Praying people that seeks the face of the Lord. But why is Daniel in this state? Why is Daniel associating himself this way? You see, it goes back over to chapter 8, to the abomination of desolation here. You see, Daniel has this other vision. In verse 1, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after that which appeared to me at the first. And I saw in the vision, and when I saw, I was in Susa, the citadel, and which is in the province of Elim. And I saw in the vision, as I was at the Ulal canal, I raised my eyes and saw, and behold, a ram standing on the banks of the canal. And it had two horns, and both horns were high. But one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. I saw the ram charging west and northward and southward. No beast could stand before him, and there was no one who would rescue him from his power. He did as he pleased and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a male goat came from the west across the face of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a conspicuous horn between its eyes. It came to the ram with the two horns which I had seen standing on the bank of the canal. And it ran at him in his powerful wrath. I saw him come close to the ram, and he was enraged against him and struck the ram and broke his two horns. And the ram had no power to stand before him. And he cast him down to the ground and trampled him. And there was no one who could rescue the ram from his power. Then the goat became exceedingly great. But when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And instead of it, there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. You see, he has this other vision. This ram and this goat are running amok. You see, this vision goes back to Nebuchadnezzar again. And this time, we have gone from the head, shoulders, now we're at the waist. We go back to our vision of a four-headed, four-winged leopard. You see, Daniel sees the Greeks. The Greeks are coming. Alexander the Great is coming. And from his empire is going to come one who is worse than any of them. And you can go and you can look in these books, and it's Antioch's Epiphanes. Epiphanes is the abomination of desolation. You see, Epiphanes, what does he do in verse 9? Out of one of them came a little horn, Epiphanes, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. The glorious land being Israel. It grew great, even to the host of heaven. And some of the hosts and some of the stars it threw to the ground and trampled them. In other words, it came to Jerusalem, and he took whoever he wanted, and he threw the Jewish saints to the ground. He trampled them. He became great, even as great as the prince. Notice a capital P. So who do you think he's talking about? God. He became great, even as great as God. And the regular burnt offerings was taken away from him, and the place of its sanctuary was overthrown. You see, Epiphanes will step in and he will say, I am God. Your God stinks. And I'm going to show you how great I am. He takes a pig and he kills it and he throws it up on God's altar. A pig is an unclean animal. Not only does he throw this pig up on the altar and say, now let's have a feast on God's holy altar, he sets up a statue of Zeus. He is the abomination of desolation to the Israelites. Daniel has seen this vision coming. He has seen his people in this turmoil. And he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to protect them. This man thinks he's greater than God. And he comes and he makes such a mockery of God's house. Is that not slowly happening today? Are people not making a mockery of God's house? What do we do? You see, you can look at this event, you can look at it in historical documents, you can look at it through Josephus, who's a Jewish historian, and if you want, Annette can tell you too, the Apocrypha, which is, she can correct me, but it's an add-on to the Catholic Bible. It's this little section they add to the end of the Catholic Bible, and in that there's 1, 2, 3, 4 Maccabees. And in that account of the 4 Maccabees is the story of the Maccabee Revolution, John Maccabee comes and he says, I'm not taking this anymore. And he goes against Epiphanes and he fights and he wins against Epiphanes and gets him out and restores God's house the way it should be. You see, Daniel, if we look at Daniel and we look at what's going on today, there's not much of a difference. We look at these prophecies of Daniel and we look at today and we see there's not much of a difference. The government is telling us what to do. There are people coming and they're pushing and they're pulling and they're not all bad, but it's getting harder. And it's coming into God's house and God's house is being pushed and prodded and closed down. But what do we do? We do what Daniel did. Daniel got on his knees and he said, God, you are great. God, you are powerful. God, we have sinned against you. We have brought your wrath upon us. You have no reason at all to protect any of us, including me. You have no reason, and yet by your grace, by your mercy, you do. Save us now. We are your people. Please, God, this is coming, and we know it's coming, and it's going to get worse. But hold us in your hand. Shadow that wing of yours over us, that we will be your people. And what happens? One of the greatest things that could ever happen in the Bible. Gabriel steps onto the scene. And when Gabriel steps onto the scene, Jesus is proclaimed. The Christ, the Son of the living God, is proclaimed. In chapter 8, verses 16, and then in chapter 9, verse 21, Gabriel shows up. And when Gabriel shows up, he brings the hope of the Messiah. In chapter 9, he says, I came swiftly in your pleading, in your weakness. I came quickly because the word went up. God Almighty heard your cries. He heard you pleading for your people. He heard you confessing your sins. And He sent me quickly to you to proclaim to you what's coming, to give you understanding and insight. We have that insight right in front of us. It's right here. We can go to it and we can read it. Chapter 8, verse 25, Epiphanes, the little horn shall be broken. Yes, Daniel, that event's going to happen. It's going to be bad, but he won't survive. He'll be broken. Chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, the 70s. Like I said, I'm not getting into the 70s. Is a timeline from Antioch Epiphanes to the second coming of Christ. That's really all that is. It's just a giant timeline pointing to what's going to happen. And the great part, here's the great part that he came to tell us. He came to tell us in 70 years, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgressions, to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity. You see, at the end of all of this insanity, Daniel, in the end of all of this insanity that right now that's happening, when this finally stops, there is going to be one who comes to finish transgression, one who is going to put an end to sin, one who's coming to atone for iniquity. Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he was bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. There's one coming, Daniel. There's one coming to put an end to it all. The victor, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is coming. Keep crying out to your God. Keep pleading to your God. Because there's one coming. And not only has he come, but he is going to return. We are at the stage of Daniel now where we're pleading. And God's saying he's coming. He's coming, but this time he's not coming to be defeated. He's coming to say, you're defeated. I win. And you're with me, and you're with me, and you're with me, and you're with me, and you're with me. He's coming to collect his own. We have victory amongst this storm. The eye of the storm is Jesus. But we have to be a praying people. We have to get on our knees and pray. Let the cry of Daniel be our cry. You, oh God, belong mercy and forgiveness. You, oh God, listen to our prayers and our pleas for your sake. You, oh God, make your face shine upon us. You, oh God, incline your ear and hear. Open our eyes and see our desolations. Let us see how despised we are, how disgusting in our sin we are. Let us see. Let us see our need for you, that we don't have this together, that we can't. That wave is coming, and there's not a thing we can do but stand there and be taken over. Think about all those end of the time movies when the tsunami is coming. The best that we can do when this really starts picking up, this insanity that's happening around the world, is do with those. It's either a daughter and her dad, or a husband and wife. They just stand there and they hug, and the wave just goes boom, and they're gone. There's not a thing we can do, oh God. Open our eyes to our need for you. Open our eyes to the sin that's in us, so that we can pray to you, that we can seek you. And then, oh God, hear us. Forgive us. Pay attention. Act. Delay not. For your sake. For Yahweh, our God, is righteous in all the works he has done. And he has confirmed his word. Write down the dream. Write down the vision. Because it is sure. We can look in this book and we can see the things that have passed have happened according to the book of Daniel. We are getting close to the feet. When we get close to the feet, that means that rock is coming next. That rock is coming next. Be a praying people. Be a people that seeks God's face, because God will hear and God will answer. He answered Daniel. And as we know, Daniel heard those words. Good job. Welcome home, son. So what do we do in these crazy times? We put our differences aside. We put our opinions aside. And we grab hand and hand. And we hit our knees. And we pray. And we pray. And we pray. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory for who you are. Lord, let us have the heart of Daniel, that as Daniel saw these things coming, as he lived through these things, he didn't get angry about them. He didn't speak about them. He ran to you. And in times he would grab the hands of his friends and he would run to you. Lord, let us grab each other's hand and come to you, the one who has the victory secure. You've conquered sin. You've conquered death. There's no army, no government, no world leader, not even the Antichrist himself, will stand against you. Things look that way. Things will look that way even worse. But they're lies. Because you've claimed the victory already. You've claimed your seat. And you will return and you will take those that have been faithful to you. Help us to be faithful. us to pray for our enemies. Help us to pray for our leaders. Help us to pray for our church. That we will stand strong and we will stand united in you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. Real good thing to be studying with us, the state we're in right now, this country. What gets me is how Daniel, you know, a man full of faith, a man of God full of faith, almost unmeasurable faith, got down on his knees and asked for repentance, asked God to, you know, to forgive him. And I think me compared to Daniel, my sin compared to the sin that Daniel had, how much more should we be on our knees asking God for, you know, to heal us, that we need to repent. I don't care, whenever I think about the sins that are out there in this nation, the things that are going bad, the Holy Spirit is always reminding me that I too am a sinner and that I need to deal with my own sin to be a better witness, to deal with somebody else's sin. But the great thing about it is the victory. We have the victory. We are victorious in Jesus Christ because He, the only one that was able, died on that cross to cover our sins. And no matter how horrendous them sins are, His blood covers it all. The saying is things continue as normal. They say Jesus is coming, but things just continue as normal. You've heard that, you know, a few years ago you heard that statement quite a bit. Well, I think if you look around now, things aren't quite as normal as they were. Jesus is coming. And He's coming soon. And you need to get down on your knees and ask Him to forgive you and accept His sacrifice, accept His, what He did for you on that cross. And we also need to get on our knees, those who have already asked that prayer, to get down on our knees and continue to ask for forgiveness for what we've done and for forgiveness of the sins of this nation. I know we all aren't responsible totally for all the sins of this nation, but that don't matter. If Daniel could get down on his knees and pray for forgiveness, surely we can get down on our knees and pray for forgiveness. If you need that forgiveness this morning, we're going to sing a song of invitation. Please come forward and accept Jesus. Please stand.
Calling, calling, oh sinner, come.
to be aware of others around you and try to shuffle out safely. And it's been a good day. I'm going to pray us out of here, and God bless your week. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege of being in your house this morning. We thank you that you have provided it for us, Lord. And we pray that that you be with everybody in this church and our ministers and our leadership, and that you bless us and you give us wisdom and knowledge to know, Lord, what to do next, to speak to others about your saving grace, Lord, and to know what's coming in the future, Lord, that you help us to, with your word, Lord, to learn from it and learn what's coming and comfort us, and because we have nothing to fear, O Lord. We have nothing to fear as long as you are in our lead, Lord. Help us to put you first in everything we do, Lord, and to always trust in you. I ask this prayer that everybody that could not be here today, that you be with them, Lord, and bless them also. And we long for the day when we can all gather at your throne. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.